who's been watching the rugby this morning? And the fear of the Lord has descended over the congregation. It seems as I'm not going to say it. Shall we come back to the Word of God? That'll be more appropriate, wouldn't it? It'll be fantastic. Yeah, two words that we don't mention this morning, the B word and the other words. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Sam, for reading. And bless you. New Zealand, indeed. We're not saying it. It's excellent. Thank you for those of you who came to the prayer breakfast this morning. A good time to come together as a church to pray. And it so much reminds me that this is really what characterized the very early church that we looked at in the series of Acts, you know, witness, preaching, fellowship, that joyfulness about them, you know, like when England or Wales or Scotland or Ireland have get a try. I'm not mentioning it, faith, submitting to the authorities there, they were ready to proclaim God's truth, to stand for it at all costs, and especially we saw in the example of John and Peter praying, and of course, as we saw last week, generosity. So up to this moment in time, everything is good for the church. If you were to put those things, to summarize them in a few words, you will be power. They experience the power of God. Secondly, it will be passion in their ministry, in all they did to glorify God. Passion, prayer. Prayer was another aspect. And somebody handed me a piece of paper this morning to remind me of what I closed the sermon with last week, when I said that prayer is the key that opens the door to our witness in the world. And the hinges on which the doors, on which that door is pegged, is tapped on, is called generosity. Is if prayer opens the door to a witness of God's love to the world, then the hinges that keep that door open is generosity. You're the church that was full of generosity. They share everything they had in common. Everything. And this is where we were left last week with an incredible community shape and form, full of witness, full of power, full of prayer, full of praise, and of course of generosity. And they were giving with joy. They were giving uninhibited. They were giving full-hearted. I want to stop at this moment and say thank you to this wonderful, beautiful worship group this morning. Daniel, there, let's hear it for Daniel. Yay! Jocelyn, let's hear it for Jocelyn, yeah! And ladies and gentlemen, in premiere, for the first time ever, is it first time ever? It might be. Renee, who sang, yay! Absolutely fantastic. Brilliant. And of course, Martin. Martin is about blessing. Excellent. Oh, lovely to see them all playing, worshiping, and leading us in worship this morning. You know, incredible. Your children will have visions, and they then will prophesy. How fantastic that is. Brilliant. So thank you, guys. Thank you for leading us in worship this morning. So we were left with a picture where, in Acts 4, Barnabas, if you've got your Bibles in front of you, he sells everything. His name was, real name was Joseph. But he was called also Barnabas because of one of his ministries was that of encouragement. He loved to encourage people. He loved to release them in their ministries. He loved to say, this is what God is doing in your life, you know. And now you come to chapter 5 of Acts, which is one of the most difficult passages of scripture ever. I don't mind preaching on homosexuality, I don't mind preaching on different other aspects of Trinity or whatever it is, but this is a passage that is so difficult. And I was in two minds, shall I preach on it or shall I not preach on it? And I had two options here. One, not to preach on it. Secondly, was to ask Michelle to preach on it. Because Michelle, on Tuesday evening, went to Lancaster University, and I'm not lying, but it's one of the best sermons I've ever heard on John chapter 4. It was given by Michelle. Student, is anybody who was here at Lancaster University on Tuesday evening to hear Michelle? No, nobody here? No, nobody. Oh, take it from me. It was an amazing sermon, absolutely. The Lord gave her many converts. The university was transformed. I've got an assistant. Now, Michelle is going to preach for the next 6 weeks coming. My next sermon will be at Christmas. Amazing it was. And this is one of those passages that not many people want to preach from, don't want to relate to, because let's add another P to the purposes of the church in the Acts of Apostles. After power, after prayer, after experiencing God's incredible power and praise and everything else, there's another P that happens, and this is purity. Up to now, for the church was good. Yeah? It was all this excitement, the Holy Spirit came, miracles happened, the church grew, we're adding to their number, the Lord. But then, boom, something happens. And God reminds the church that, wait a minute, this is not just about a show. This is about a lived life. It's not just a tradition that we're running here or a program. But it is about how you live your life as a community of people, as witnesses to my grace and love. And there we have, you're moving from a Barnabas who gives everything to the Lord, who puts the apostles' feet, as the scripture describes it, to come to this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, who hold him back a little bit. And I struggle with this thing, because what else can I say in this passage that a part of God requests purity from his church, requests honesty in all his dealings. It's not a business, after all, God's church. It is a community who lives as a witness to others, not a business, not an organization. And as such, God says, I want you to learn this thing from the very beginning of your witness for me into the world. That your purity, your honesty really matters to me. And so we have this incredible example here. It's about authenticity. It's the secret of being ourselves. It's about vulnerability, the secret of sharing ourselves with others. This is what the church did in the Acts of Apostles. It's about credibility, the secret of getting people to believe, to trust you. The church has earned that in those few years after Jesus' departure, ascension. And it's about compatibility. It's about getting along in harmony with one another. The way of getting together of one mind, one spirit. And I want to share with you, I'm going onto this sermon from another angle of that, of being authentic, of being genuine. You see with Martin's illustration, very good, how in that doggy food can was actually, yeah, there you are. It was, oh man, it does smell like doggy food, doesn't it? But inside, is actually something very, very different. And God says to this church, to the church in general, make sure that what you have on the label is actually inside too. And this is what happens in Acts chapter 5. Make sure that when you go as a witness, when you go onto the world, don't put on the label genuine if inside is not genuine. Because you see, there are many products out there that we buy that says original, genuine, made, whatever year. Buy it, is the one and only. And this is what God says to the church. Make sure that you don't fake it. You don't lose the trust that the gospel brings to people in me. Because in any dodgy dealings that we do as Christians, people will then project that on God and their trust in Him. That's why this comes right early in the life and witness of the church, right at the beginning there, to say, by the way, church, this is not what it's all about. Yes, okay, you can have the Holy Spirit, you can have all this stuff, but at the end of the day, you have to live the life of what you believe is true in me. So, what the core theme of this passage is that it is fear, because the scripture reminds us that a great fear struck the church when they saw that both Ananias and Sapphira were finished. Great fear seized the church at the time. And I wonder if we today, later on, because we rely so much on God's grace, on God's cross for our salvation, we have lost the sense of God's fear in our lives. As long as we believe it's okay, it doesn't really matter if our belief matches our lifestyles. And God reminds us that yes, it does. You need to be an authentic, genuine disciple of Jesus Christ, both as a church and as an individual. So I want to talk to you very briefly about this fear of God, that at the end of the day, we seem to have gone out of church. We seem to have gone out of our Christian discipling ministries and life together. It's about when we don't have fear of God anymore in our hearts, there is disobedience. Disobedience takes place. And what happens that instead of allowing ourselves for the world to see us who we are genuine, really, what's on the label, we only carry the label with us, but inside we are different. And I want to talk to you about why sometimes we carry the genuine label, but inside we are different. We are completely in turmoil. Let me talk about one of the things, and that was what we were saying in Genesis, that when disobedience came, when God came to visit Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, He says, "Where are you?" Well, we were afraid and we hid. We're afraid of their own vulnerability. I read a very interesting article last week about why men today do not like to commit to marriage. They commit to football. They're very passionate about football. They commit to whatever clubs they want to go to, cars, steam trains, whatever it is, they commit to that 100%, but not to marriage. And the article was saying that basically the reason that men don't want to commit to marriage is because they don't want to expose themselves to see that they are weak in front of their spouses and in front of their wives. Yeah? This is what happens in the beginning of this incredible story in the life and history of the Apostolic Church. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. And Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to be like all the others. They saw and witnessed the church giving generously with joy in their hearts. And they wanted to be like them. So they said, okay, we're going to sell what we've got. And we're going to put them at the apostles' feet. But how much did they put? I don't know. Probably about 80%, but they kept 20%. That's not what matters here at all, how much they put. The fact is that they didn't fully surrender what they had to the church, to the fellowship there. And you know what happens. Now, it's the fear of exposure or being vulnerable that keeps us from being ourselves. We will do anything to conform to the label outside, yet inside we might be different. Let me tell you something of, you know, when I want a really good time, a really fun time, I want to just relax myself. I read those columns in the paper where one advertises himself, or a girl advertises herself for marriage or relationship or whatever. I listen to some of those that I find from time to time. Let me read you a few. Ex-London, New York, Paris model. Very pretty, tall, shapely, clever, educated, divorced, white professional female, 38, six very successful, good-looking, tall, educated, romantic, single, white professional male in Lancaster. Says she is an ex-model, model for what, I don't know, tractors, whatever it is. But another one, senior goddess, listen to that, 50s, active, with youthful look and viewpoint, slim, attractive, lover, loves creativity, culture, beauty, loyalty, integrity, and Daniel Craig. Another one, neat, witty, grace, blue eye female, banana figure. I've never heard anybody saying you're a pear figure. You know, looking for tall, intelligent, healthy, handsome guy. Well, listen from the men, that was the ladies. Stray cat, six kitten. Tall, nice looking, professional, 29. Blonde and green. I'm assuming there's blonde hair and green eyes, and not vice versa. Six attractive, professional kitten to get me out of the alleyway. Good luck with that. Another one, bubbly, bouncing, bonny, bright, beautiful, Brit, blonde, blue, Brexiteer. Six, nice girl for a loving partner. Another one, this is the last one, trust me. Handsome, caring, passionate, easygoing, emotionally secure, financially stable, well-educated, fun-loving, sensuous. I speak like Pierce Brosnan and look like George Clooney. What? What? That is the label. Because probably when you go and meet that guy, it's short, bald, fat, no teeth, wooden leg, and no money. It's good, isn't it? It's good. We love to advertise ourselves in a different manner. God says, this is not what the church does. The church has to be genuine in my witness and love to the world. It's not an institutional organization that we run. It is God's witness community that spreads about into the world. And it needs to be genuine. Genuine. Secondly, the reason we put another label on us instead of what is inside us, nobody's going to put dog food, miserable, horrible, please don't buy it for your dog. It's because we fear rejection. And this is a big one. Peter asked Sapphira, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said. That is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? The Spirit of the Lord. The lie, the conspiration wasn't against the church or the community. It was against God. Because if you look at in verse 3, the same happens to Ananias. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? You have lied to the Holy Spirit. Not to the community. Not to your brother and sister. Not to the apostles, not to the whoever he was in charge at the time, to the deacons, whatever. You lie to the Holy Spirit here. And I think God wants us to hear that today as a church, as a fellowship, as Christians. How we live our lives before, in the world, before people, does matter. If it is a genuine product, what it says on the label or not. Vulnerability, you deal with that. The only way you're going to deal with that is by beginning to live in God's truth of what he thinks about you. That you are loved, you are precious, you are bought with a price for him. In the second one of rejection, The only way you're going to deal with rejection in your life, the only way you're going to subtract, get that out and root that out, is by trusting in God's love. Fully surrendering to His love for you, understanding that He loves the, not just the label that you put here, but He loves the inside. He loves the inside very much. That it is crumbling, that is rejected, that feels rejected, that feels bereaved, that feels broken, that feels confused, that feels in pain, that feels worried, that feels anxious. God loves the inside, not just the label. And when we understand that God actually does take it, and such is good, then we'll have the courage to put the proper label on. And we will, by His grace. We don't have to parade a different me than what is inside, in front of people or even at home. Usually at home we are good because we take the mask and the coat of who I would like to be or pretend I am and put it on the peg, and really at home we really show who we are with our spouses, with our husbands, our wives. And certainly, and I'm closing with this, is that when the fear of the Lord has come out of our hearts, when reverence for God has come out, and I'll say this with grace, that, and I said it many times in this church, okay, do take God seriously, because He is righteous, He is holy, He is loving, He is graceful, but don't take yourself that seriously. And what happens that we, when we've been hurt, that's when we go into the shelf, plethora, where there's plethora of labels, and we choose which one we're going to wear for the specific day. Whether we go into a meeting with a friend that is painful, oh, I know this is going to be like this, so because I've been hurt already, and I've been rejected as a child, I've been bullied as a child, or abused as a child, I'm going to put this label on now, and I pretend that I'm okay. Or I go and I pick this label up because on this label says that actually as I struggle with my sexuality, I struggle to trust people, I struggle to even trust God. So I'm going to take this label on me to show people that actually I do trust, that I am not confused as I seem to be, and that I am okay. I was going the other day to Manchester, and I saw in Lancaster Station, in the train station, I saw this advert, "It is okay not to be okay." I love that advert. It is okay not to be okay. And I think this is what I'm saying this morning. It is okay to be ourselves, who God made us to be. It is okay to be vulnerable, to show that we carry pain with us, that we are not the macho, hacho, pacho, Rambo kind of stuff people, that we are Christians who are some of us broken people who go through the difficulties of life, hardly making ends meet and so on. But we are genuine, loving, trusting that this God that we believe in, He will see us through. Not because He's going to pay our mortgages and we're going to have drive a Ferrari and we're going to have bigger houses and incredible futures, but because He loves us unconditionally. And that might come as well too. So, and the third kind of antidote to our hurts is to learn to trust God, is to learn to allow Him to come. And instead of us going to pick up a label from the shelf, allow Him to put a label on us and say, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased. This is my daughter who is hurt, is bereaved, but are still loved." And when you've got God's label on you, when you go out to the world, you will learn to use the what is inside, being broken or being ugly looking, that is a blessing to others. You know, when Sandra and myself, Sandra, for a matter, we went through a few miscarriages before we had our boys. Is a silent world about miscarriages. You never know. People never talk about it. But once we share that with other people, I was so impressed, surprised in a way, to see how many people have gone through the same pain, but nobody talks about it. The point I want to make is this: as soon as you open your can of vulnerability, of genuineness to other people, you build friendship, you build authentic relationships, and others will find a blessing in that, in and through you. Yeah, God calls us to be pure, to be genuine, to be authentic product, with the label of the cross of God's grace on our hearts, not the labels that we choose to put on us. I was closing with this illustration. When I was a young boy, I used to go to one of my uncles in the countryside, and he had a ferocious dog. And I usually used to go by bus, and then come off the bus, go into his yard just across the road. And he had very, very, very ferocious dog. And he, once when I went, I think I was about, I must have been 7 or 8. I went in, I opened the door to his courtyard there, and the dog just lashed on me, and it got me. I didn't go for about 4 years to see my uncle after that. But the next time I went, I told him that I'm going. And he waited for me at the bus stop. And still, you notice that I was about 13, 14, still shaky when I went into the courtyard. Sat there waiting for the weekend. I was still shaky and not relaxed because of the dog in the yard. The next time I went, he invited me 3, 4 weeks later. He didn't wait at the bus stop for me. He actually came to pick me up from Turkish from my hometown and took me back home to his home. I like to think that God is like this with you. With the wounds that you carry, with the pain that you trail behind you, God will go the extra mile, will take the bus, will do anything possible to come and pick you up and take you to play again in his courtyard. There's nothing worse to a witness for Christ, and the church has learned that in the apostolic age, than not being ourselves. Let the Holy Spirit of God begin a search and work in you, that you will enjoy being yourself, the person whom God delights in and loves. Once, look at this, how is this for witness? It's in Titus 3:3-5. Once our lives were full of resentment, that's what they were, and we still are. We hated us as they hated us. This is the world in which we live. There's no more comment. But when the time came for the kindness and love of God, our Savior, to appear, then He saved us. Not because we were good enough. Yucky inside. There was nothing good about this stuff. Not to look at anyway, but it does taste good. Not because we're good enough to be saved, but because of His kindness, by washing away our sins and giving us new joy that comes. Listen to those two final words. New heart. God needs to do some surgery within us till so that He is able to put His label of grace on that heart that says it belongs to me now. And you don't have to be. I don't know how people can manage to be someone else that they pretend they are not, because it's hard work to be someone else. It really is. It's difficult. You get tired day in, day out to be someone else, to live like someone else. Be yourself in all you do so that the name of God can be glorified. This is where I come with the story from. It's a story that is very difficult, because at the end of the day, it says there in verses 13 of Acts 5, no one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by people. It sees them by fear about what happened. People who witnessed Ananias and Sapphira's death, they stay away. They stay away from that because they realise actually Christianity is not for cowards. It requires genuine of life lived before God in all its aspects, with the truth, vulnerable, being authentic. But then in verse 14 says, nevertheless, I love the word, however, but nevertheless, more and more men and women believe in the Lord because they saw that through that incident, there were some among them who were genuinely believers who gave everything to God. Hey, listen, this is not a sermon about asking you to give more money to the church. We talk about that many a times in the past, even last week when Steve stood up here, and thank you for that. We are genuinely grateful for supporting the ministry of the church here. This is about us as a church walking in purity with God. This is about us as disciples of Jesus Christ being ourselves, walking in genuineness of who God created us to be in life. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what the world wants to see. He doesn't want to see Daniel Craig or George Clooney in A Million. Surely not. He wants to see A Million. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word this morning. Thank you that this is such a difficult, yet a timely reminder of who you are. You are a God who is righteous, who is holy, who is perfect. Yet at the same time, you are full of grace, of forgiveness and mercy. Thank you for this story as a reminder that you love purity in and among your church and your people. You like them to be themselves. You like them to be the people that you have paid a great ransom for them. Father, it is our prayer today as a church that you will make us genuine Christians, genuine church where people will come here and will know and experience, as they already do, our love for them genuinely, truly. People will come in here not because we got all the bells and whistles and the charisma and the incredible atmosphere of worship and whatever it is, but because they will be meeting with you. Father, we want to become a church that is prayerful, that is passionate, that proclaims your word, that is pure in all its dealings, in all its ministry, in all its witness to the world out there. Help us remain a pure church, Father. And Father, I pray this morning for each one of us, that if there is impurity in our hearts, would you give us a new heart? A heart that understands your love, that is rooted in your grace, that allows to have the label of the cross on it. Give us a heart for the lost, a heart that is pure in our ministries, a heart that is genuine in our relationships, a heart that is vulnerable, a heart that is rooted in the fear of God, in your righteousness, your holiness. Thank you for being our God. Help us follow you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.